and restored to life. One day Elisha went to Shunem, and a well-to-do woman was there who urged him to stay for a meal. So whenever he came by, he stopped there to eat. She said to her husband, "I know that this man, who often comes our way, is a holy man of God. Let's make a small room on the roof and put in it a bed and a table, a chair and a lamp for him. Then he can stay there whenever he comes to us." One day, when Elisha came, he went up to his room and lay down there. He said to his servant Gehazi, "Call the Shunammite." So he called her, and she stood before him. Elisha said to him, "Tell her, you have gone to all this trouble for us. Now what can be done for you? Can we speak on your behalf to the king or the commander of the army?" She replied, I have a home among my own people." "What can be done for her?" Elisha asked. Gehazi said, "She has no son and her husband is old." Then Elisha said, "Call her." So he called her and she stood in the doorway. "About this time next year," Elisha said, "you will hold a son in your arms." "No, my lord," she objected. "Please, man of God, don't mislead your servant." But the woman became pregnant, and the next year, about that same time, she gave birth to a son, just as Elisha had told her. The child grew, and one day he went out to his father, who was with the reapers. He said to his father, "My head, my head." His father told the servant, "Carry him to his mother." After the servant had lifted him up and carried him to his mother, the boy sat in her lap until noon, and then he died. She went up and laid him on the bed of the man of God, and shut the door and went out. She called her husband and said, "Please send me one of the servants and a donkey so I can go to the man of God quickly and return." "Why go to him today?" he asked. "It's not the new moon or the Sabbath." "That's all right," she said. She saddled the donkey and said to her servant, "Lead on. Don't slow down for me unless I tell you." So she set out and came to the man of God at Mount Carmel. When he saw her in the distance, the man of God said to his servant Gehazi, "Look, there's a Shunammite. Run to meet her and ask her, 'Are you all right? Is your husband all right? Is your child all right?'" "Everything is all right," she said. When she reached the man of God at the mountain, she took hold of his feet. Gehazi came over to push her away, but the man of God said, "Leave her alone. She is in bitter distress, but the Lord has hidden it from me and has not told me why." "Did they ask you for a son, my Lord?" she said. "Didn't I tell you, don't raise my hopes?" Elisha said to Gehazi, "Tuck your cloak into your belt, take my staff in your hand and run. Don't greet anyone you meet, and if anyone greets you, do not answer. Lay my staff on the boy's face." But the child's mother said, "As surely as the Lord lives, and as you live, I will not leave you." So he got up and followed her. Gehazi went on ahead and laid the staff in the boy's face, but there was no sound or response. So Gehazi went back to meet Elisha and told him, "The boy has not awakened." When Elisha reached the house, there was a boy lying dead on his couch. He went in, shut the door on the two of them, and prayed to the Lord. Then he got on the bed and lay on the boy, mouth to mouth, eyes to eyes, hands to hands. As he stretched himself out on him, the boy's body grew warm. Elisha turned away and walked back and forth in the room. Then he got on the bed and stretched out on him once more. The boy sneezed 7 times and opened his eyes. Elisha summoned Gehazi and said, "Call the Shunammite." And he did. When she came, he said, "Take your son." Amen.
Elisha to succeed him as prophet. And so Elijah went and found Elisha, who was ploughing his fields. He went up to him and threw his cloak around him, and Elisha left his oxen and followed Elijah. And from that time on, he became Elijah's co-worker. Elijah was an amazing, faithful, obedient follower of God. But after the contest on Mount Carmel, he struggled. And I'm sure you remember that we talked about how it says in James that Elijah was a man just like us. But God graciously provided a companion, a colleague to be with him, someone who could share the burden and be a help and a friend to him. We often struggle too. And there's nothing wrong with struggling. It happens to all of us. But God doesn't intend that we should be alone either. That's why we have church, where we can be a support to one another. God doesn't mean us to be solitary Christians, but to be in a place of community with friends, where we can pray for one another and encourage one another. And as for Elisha, he didn't hesitate or argue when God's call came on his life. He responded instantly. Just like Elijah, his instant obedience is a challenge to us. And so the two men worked for God together. And then maybe about 10 years later, the day came when they both knew somehow that Elijah had come to the end of his life. And Elijah seemed to be determined to make his last journey alone, and Elisha was equally determined that he wasn't going to leave him. He was a loyal companion who wanted to be with his friend to the end. And so they went on this journey together. And when they came to the River Jordan, Elijah took his cloak, rolled it up, and struck the water of the river with it. And the water divided, and the two men crossed on dry ground. And then Elijah said to Elisha, "What can I do for you before I'm taken from you?" And Elisha replied, "Let me inherit a double portion of your spirit." He wasn't actually asking for a ministry twice as great as Elijah's. This was a term from inheritance law. The firstborn son had the right to a double portion. Here was Elisha not asking for wealth or success or fame. He was asking for the help of the Holy Spirit, for the resource that he needed to serve God. The Message translates it as, "I want to be a holy man just like you." And Elijah knew that that was something that could only be given by God, but he said to him, "Well, if you see me when I'm taken away from you, then you'll know that it's yours." Well, as they were walking along and talking together, suddenly a chariot of fire and horses of fire appeared and separated them. And Elijah went to heaven in a whirlwind and vanished from sight. And Elisha saw it. So he picked up the cloak that had fallen from Elijah, and he went back to the River Jordan, and he struck the water of the river with the cloak, just as Elijah had done. And he said, "Where now is the God of Elijah?" And the river divided, and he crossed over on dry ground. God had answered his request. God had granted him the authority that Elijah had had, the help of the Holy Spirit who had helped Elijah. Elisha's first miracle was the same as Elijah's last miracle. It was a sign that God was with him as he had been with Elijah, and that God's work would continue through him. How do we know that God has called us to serve him in a particular way? Only by starting to do it. We know that God has said that he has given gifts to each one of us, but how do we know what they are? How do we know how we should serve him? Only by doing it. Elijah said that if Elisha saw him go into heaven, then God would have granted his request. But Elisha only knew that had happened when he took the cloak and struck the waters of the Jordan with it. So many times in Scripture, we see that God acts when we take that step of faith. The Red Sea parted when Moses stretched out his hand over it. In the time of Joshua, the River Jordan parted when the priests started to walk into the water. And Peter walked on the water when he got out of the boat. Is there something that God is asking of you today that needs you to take that first step, trusting that he will meet you and help you and honor your commitment to him? If God calls you, he also gives you everything you need to be able to obey him, but you need to start. You will never walk on water unless you get out of the boat. So we're going to pause there. And so we turn to look very briefly at the story we read about an unnamed woman who lived in the town of Shunem. It was a place that Elisha passed through often on his travels, so she invited him for a meal. And then whenever he passed through the town, he stopped there to eat. So the first thing we notice about this woman is her openness to serve God. What could she do? She could provide hospitality to his prophet. She made someone a meal. Sometimes I think we struggle to think how we can serve God in our situation. But one of the ways that we can do that is to provide food. We might invite somebody for a meal, or we might contribute to Tear Fund, or Mary's Meals, or another charity that provides food for those in great need. Or we might help at the larder. In the letter of James, it says that one of the things that God our Father accepts as pure and faultless is to look after orphans and widows in their distress. In the first century church, orphans and widows were people who were destitute, who were struggling to live and feed themselves. God has a particular care for the poor and needy, and anything that we can do to provide food to those in need is an act of service, not just to them, but to him. And then, because the woman and her husband were quite well off, she suggested to her husband that they could make a little room upstairs in their house so that Elisha and his servant Gehazi could stay every time they passed through the town. Her service of hospitality developed. She started with a meal and then provided lodgings. And when we step out to serve God, If we are open to his leading, we should not be surprised if he leads us into more. So this woman was open to serve God. And the second thing we notice about her is that she had learned to be content with what she had. Elisha wanted to thank her for her hospitality, and so he said to her, "You've gone through all this trouble for us. What can we do for you? Can we speak on your behalf to the king or the commander of the army?" "I have a home among my own people," she said. Or as the message puts it, "I'm secure and satisfied in my family. I'm content with what I have. I don't need anything more." And that sounds as though she had it all. But actually she didn't, because she didn't have any children. Her husband was getting old, and she must have had no expectation that she would ever have children. And I expect that that was actually a source of great pain for her. And in biblical times, it was also a major problem. When a husband died, the son was supposed to provide for his widowed mother. There was no social security to help. Her husband's estate would have gone to a male relative, and she would most probably have been turfed out of the house and left destitute. So as well as the pain of being childless, she was actually looking at a very uncertain future. Elisha's offer to speak to the king about her could maybe have solved that for her. Maybe there could have been the possibility of the king making provision for her old age, making sure that she wouldn't be penniless when her husband died. But she didn't ask for that. She was content and thankful for what she had, instead of focusing on what she didn't have. It was Elisha's servant who pointed out to him that she had no son and her husband was old. And so Elisha said to her, "This time next year, you will have a son." And like a number of other women in the Old Testament, to whom God gave a son in circumstances where they thought it was impossible, the woman did indeed have a son the following year. And for a number of years, all must have been well in this little family as the boy grew up. But one day he went out to his father in the fields and complained of a splitting headache, and he died. His mother laid him on Elisha's bed and saddled a donkey and set out to find Elisha. She told nobody that the boy had died. On the contrary, she twice said that everything was all right. But when she reached Elisha, it was clear to him that she was in bitter distress. She insisted that Elisha would come with her and refused to leave him. And when he reached the house, he found the boy lying dead. He went in, shut the door, and prayed. And the boy came back to life. Here was a woman who demonstrated great faith in God. She knew that Elisha was a holy man, and so she ran to him in her trouble because she believed that only God could help her. We all face times of trouble and deep distress. That is a fact of life. How do we cope when the hardships of life hit us? There is only one place to go: and that is to our God. Jesus said, "Come to me, all you who are weary and heavy laden, and I will give you rest for your souls." We are not immune from the troubles and problems of life. We know that. But we have a refuge, a place to which we can run. We can take all our pain and grief to Jesus. To Jesus who carried all of that on the cross and who rose victorious over death. What a friend we have in Jesus. All our sins and griefs to bear. What a privilege to carry everything to God in prayer. Here is a woman who had learned to be content and thankful for what she had. Here is a woman who opened her heart to others, seeking to serve God in the best way that she could through giving hospitality to his servant. And here is a woman who, in her deepest distress, put her trust in God and cried to him to help her, and who found his love and mercy. I think this unnamed woman from Shunem is a role model for us, a woman whose whole life showed her faith in God. I found myself thinking about her as I read words from the 23rd Psalm the other day in the New Living Translation. It seemed to me that these words described this woman very well. "The Lord is my shepherd. I have all that I need. He lets me rest in green meadows. He leads me beside peaceful streams. He renews my strength. He guides me along right paths, bringing honor to his name. Even when I walk through the darkest valley, I will not be afraid, for you are close beside me. Your rod and your staff protect and comfort me." A description of the woman from Shunem. May that also be a description of us. Amen.